But when you have that mentality and that mindset of like, wait, you create your revenue, I create mine.
Right.
I'm in charge of mine. It's my company. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help support your growth for your own profit and your own revenue. And then we're going to do the same thing for me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
And you're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser,
where we teach you to salon differently.
If you are still using a front desk in your salon, it may be time to future-proof your business with Aura Salonware. Aura allows you and your team to check clients out from any device. That means there's no need for a front desk or front desk overhead. What's even more amazing is that clients can check themselves out using the Aura app from their own device. With Aura Salonware, you can finally let technology streamline your business. Start removing your front desk today by visiting aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos. Are you exhausted trying to get your team to understand the cost of product use? Let's jump into the future with SalonScale. Have more proactive conversations with real numbers that can help create less waste. SalonScale software is a pro stylist app that gets your team educated on the real costs of doing business.
SalonScale is a great solution for wasting less color and making more profit. Visit salonscale.com/DTH and use code DTH10 at checkout for 10% off. All right, we're doing another one-on-one with a coach. These are your favorite thing.
They are this week, this session, yeah.
just this one. We're here with Janessa.
Hi.
Surprise. New coach alert.
Canada's in the house.
You are from Canada.
We have gone global as far as coaches. We've been global with students, but now we are global with...
What's it been like being a student in Canada, but being coached through an American company? I think people make the assumption they're very similar, but there are a lot of differences in Canada.
There's some differences in Canada. Like, I think...
Like, you guys have healthcare.
We have healthcare. Yes, that's true. And now, at least in Ontario, dental care as well.
Wow.
I know. Not for very long, probably, but we'll find out. But, I think the differences, like, how the methods and how they translated were... very easily kind of shifted into. I think maybe some of the mentality a little bit was sort of different. I think I'm speaking for myself. I think I got stuck in a lot of like so stereotypical like politeness and like quietness and like someone please help me. You know what I mean? Like
right.
So
I'm dying inside.
How did you find DTH?
Through the Clubhouse.
She was a Clubhouse kid.
Yeah, the app that no longer is used.
When we were viral in Clubhouse for a year.
Yeah.
So you heard us on Clubhouse, mm-hmm. And what was it that got you hooked?
I feel like
it was during shutdown.
It was during shutdown. Yeah. And so I'm in Ontario, and we had like the longest shutdowns in North America mm-hmm. at that time. So when I found you, we were in our second lockdown.
Yeah.
Just kind of coming out.
So you were bored.
Bored. And so Clubhouse was just my favorite Monday and Wednesday thing to do. But no, I was bored. I was crying in a corner trying to figure out grade 3 math because they don't use numbers. They just use like squares and stuff. Like I don't get it. So I was like homeschooling and like trying to figure out how to keep this company alive. And I was actually coaching with another company at
the time.
Like
you were a coach?
I was a student. I was part of another program at the time. And so I had a very, like, very clear juxtaposition between the two because one was like, oh, get all your team members together every Monday on a Zoom and do, like, scavenger hunts and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, get them all still engaged. And I'm like, I'm crying in a corner.
I'm tired.
And, like, I can't even get myself out of, like, my pajamas. So, like, why? But then I would hear, you know, I'd jump on a Clubhouse and hear, like, just how... I mean, how simple, how clear, how, like, how much personal responsibility I needed to take in the moment. Uh-huh. Like, it made so much more sense to me.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was already there in my brain in a weird way. Like, it was, like, almost like I was looking for it the whole time because it kind of just was like, oh, we can do this? Mm-hmm. Like, we can do this in
permission.
A way that, like, that's exactly what it felt like. It was permission. It's like, we can do this in a way that doesn't feel so... toxic.
You can say fucked
you
up.
Can sounds so fuck fucking up. Toxic. Like, sorry. It's going to happen. I swear a lot. I'm So that happens.
You're Canadian, so you just apologize right after.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, I swear, let's say I'm sorry. Oh, if an A pops out, somebody bleep that.
No, I hope it does.
Do you think, we've had a few Canadian students. I had a student named Emma who was my student for years.
Emma,
she's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I had another student from Calgary. Do you think that Canadian student or people in Canada that are doing salon ownership or hairdressing, do they feel that they need coaching? Is coaching a thing in Canada?
I want it to be,
right.
Obviously.
Like even some states here, like, we know, like, they're harder to coach because they don't think they need coaching.
Yeah, I think that's, it is sort of, at least from what I experience, it is kind of like this, like, it is just what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're not really a nation that's, like, rooted in activism in a big way. Like, we didn't have a revolutionary war or, like, whatever that's called. But we
don't even know what you guys call it.
You know,
like
those
big change,
things,
like
those
thing.
Battles
like,
you've
no,
done.
No, I'm kidding. No, like, I think that it is just kind of like, you know, it is what it is. And so we kind of just keep going. And then you just end up feeling a little bit like a mouse on a wheel. You're just, like, doing your day. You're not really owning your day. You know what I mean? And I think those are two very different things. And like, I remember feeling that way. It was like, I'm just doing the things that people are telling me to do and they don't feel like me.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, the biggest shift when I kind of moved in. And I think that that is relatively common. Like, I don't want to stereotype all salons in Canada, but I think that is a common mentality. You know what I mean? Right. We don't really
push back.
Yeah, pushback. You know, a lot of states have like requirements for like additional education and that kind of stuff, right? So I think it's like it's also like a cultural thing in the states to kind of constantly be growing and evolving and that kind of stuff. But there isn't really that in Canada. There isn't that need for that or that requirement that is there. So there's just kind of like, you're done school, do your day, you know?
Right.
And I think it's easy. It slips into that really easily.
So you heard us on Clubhouse. You got hooked with the personal responsibility stuff. And then what made you book a discovery call? Who did you speak with?
You.
It was me?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I honestly don't remember.
I'm going to act like I'm not offended.
What are we talking about?
David, Drew hadn't come in
you
to start doing calls yet at the time.
Well, I know. Well, of course I know you.
Yeah, I did connect. Sorry. Yes, I did connect with Drew. And then Drew set me up with you.
Okay.
So your discovery call was with Drew.
And then, my first call was with you.
What was the discovery call like for people that have never had one?
It felt like validation in a weird way. Like it felt like, okay, what I was hearing is actually real. Like it was a way for me to kind of just like almost test the system. Like I was asking
our
questions.
Our team
like,
is actually vetting you guys of like,
do we want to work with you?
Yeah. Do we want to work with you as coaches, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank goodness Drew said yes in this situation.
That's hilarious.
But it was like, I was doing the same thing. I was kind of vetting the whole thing. Like, I think I came at it very skeptical again because I was with another...
Yeah.
I was already in a contract with another coaching company.
Another contract.
I know.
And that was my first risk. I got myself out of that contract.
Amazing.
That's hilarious.
It was like... But it felt like validation more than anything.
So once we started working together, you were like on board with it. Like, I could say, let's burn down all the salons in your area and start over, and she'd be like, okay, I got the matches.
Yep, on it. I think it was my favorite. On it.
Yeah.
This is my favorite type of student because it's just like, oh, we're doing the damn thing. Like, this is just gonna.
Yeah.
And I want to get into that, but before we talk about like you doing all the methods, was coaching what you thought it was? Like, was it what you expected?
No.
What was
not at all
different?
I think it was almost like a year in, I messaged you and I was like, I think I've been doing coaching wrong, David. Because I was just like waiting for the what are we doing next?
Yeah,
like, what's happening now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
where's my next templated assignment?
That's exactly because I just had been in that mindset, and that's kind of what it was. It was like, okay, somebody, but really it was reactivity because it was me just going like, somebody save me.
Yeah,
I don't want to make the choice on my own. Somebody do it for me, right?
Yeah.
And so when I finally got one, I don't think it was a year. That was an exaggeration, but when I finally got into that. Maybe it was a year. But
it was a year.
moment where I was like, wait a second. Like, I've done all the things, but like, I don't feel...
They were all working.
They were all working, but I was still scared. I was still terrified. Like, I was still, like, stuck in this, like, oh, my God, it's not going to work. Something's going to happen. Like, I was waiting for everything to collapse. Like, I was waiting for the moment. Like, if we made one mistake, if one thing happened in the salon, I was like, it's done. burned, right. done. It's so see?
But then people don't feel like that with normal reactive things. Like
yeah, they're like because I think when we set, I think our tools and the methods we use allow people to actually slow down. And so if you try to keep up the same speed that you were doing before, you're just actually going to cause chaos. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh, I'm causing chaos. Then it's like, oh, shit, I've never dealt with. Because the old yep. version is just keep putting out fires and running and how are we going to make money this week? And we have
stress
a slow
level
like
at a high yeah. all the time.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it felt like. I was constantly mm-hmm. just running around. Like walking into the salon, I was anticipating, okay, what's the problem? Right. And also, you know, I was behind the chair full time with 3-4 assistants doing yep. stuff. Like, so I was running a company plus being behind the chair plus doing all these kinds of things. It was just like constantly, of course I had to have this like, I don't know, level of adrenaline or just like right. trauma, trauma-based adrenaline.
Yeah.
That just like made me run my day, right? And that's kind of what it was. It was
surviving.
Like once it started working, I started panicking a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I realized, wait, this has got to be about me. Mm-hmm. Like, well, this is where like my work comes in.
When I started taking Lexapro and it kicked in, I was like, wait, I have to change now. Like, I feel better, but like, I still have garbage, right? So I think that's what happens.
Shedding
same.
Too.
Yeah. You,
same.
Yeah. You,
when Vyvanse, Lexapro.
Yeah.
Just like.
When you do the methods.
No, there's
you,
a whole thing.
Everything can get calmed down. But then you're still like, I have to change.
That's when the real work can start.
Exactly.
Yeah, because then you do realize that you're the problem. And yeah. I was like a tornado in that salon sometimes mm-hmm. when it was just like too calm. It was working too well.
We had
and
so many like, calls about that. I'm like, why are you creating chaos? Like yeah. what?
Remember, I'm just like, I'm going to open up this salon. I'm going to do this. I'm going to open up another bit. Like I was right. just like running around like mm-hmm. trying to stay busy. Yeah.
What was the most life-changing tool or method that you implemented? Like what's your favorite method essentially?
Like in the salon, my favorite method? Or like both?
Yeah.
Let's go both.
Like DTH method that you implemented in the salon and then like maybe your favorite that kind of carried over into the rest of your life.
My favorite thing to do is to recruit.
Oh, good.
I do.
That's
I love
favorite.
It.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I love recruiting. And it doesn't, it's just like community. Like, that's what mm-hmm. it feels like. It just feels like connecting in that kind of a way. Like, it doesn't feel like this horrible word that people yeah. are so afraid to use and to do. But, like, recruiting is one of my favorite things to do.
What's yeah. been your experience recruiting the DTH way?
It's been super positive, honestly. Like, I mean, I grew my team. Like, when I started coaching, there were 7 of us, including me, yeah. and now we're at 20-ish.
How many chairs?
14 mm-hmm. chairs, yeah. And so, and we just keep going. Like, mm-hmm. we just keep...
Station sharing. It's
yeah,
magical.
Station sharing. Well, I guess they go hand in hand, right? Recruiting yeah. and station sharing are the two things that are kind of, like, my favorite things, like, method-wise. Mm-hmm. But I think also tied to that and, like, is personal responsibility.
Right.
When I looked at my team and I said, you know, we started station sharing, there was like a little bit of, you know, I don't really know, what is this? It's like, it seems new, it's different, right? And like, you know, you own your station, it's like a thing. And so,
yeah.
you know, I kind of sat down with them and I was like, I hear everything that you guys are saying. And of course, like if it's scary for me, of course it's scary for you. And so it's 100% valid, but I have to tell you that this feels like a very fast decision for me, but it's the slowest one I've ever made.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's the first time I'm showing up for my own revenue and for my own business. And the first time I'm making decisions for me and for what I need in my company.
So powerful.
And, you know, I mean, I've been a salon owner for 8 years and it was like the first time that I really felt in control and owning my own responsibility with that instead of yeah. just looking at style. Like, that's what happens, right? In a lot of salons, you're just like, the salon owner is like, well, why aren't you busy?
Yeah.
You know, why
right.
aren't you doing this? Why aren't you hitting your goals?
With no solution, guidance, coaching.
No, it's just like,
or the
stylists
don't want to do something. So they're like, oh, my team didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. It's like,
so we didn't do it.
So we didn't do it.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's you.
But that's a very, that's a salon owner thing, right? Like,
100%.
Oh, well, I talked to my team about hourly pricing and they didn't like the idea.
Well, and I think because it's fear,
no one likes
right?
change.
No.
It's like the threat of a walkout, the fear of like losing everybody. And so when you have this mentality that your stylists generate your revenue, of course you're terrified to lose them. Of course you're terrified of all those things. And so making a change is going to be that. But when you have that mentality and that mindset of like, wait, you create your revenue. I create mine.
Right.
Right. I'm in charge of mine. It's my company. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help support your growth for your own profit and your own revenue. Yeah. And then we're going to do the same thing for me. And that's what this is. So recruiting and station sharing are that way. That's for me, it's a way to control my own revenue yeah. and feel an ownership over it so that, you know, when my stylists do move on, and they do, it's a happy moment. Like, we actually, I announce it on our Instagram together. Like, we celebrate they're moving on. And, like, Open Door is
It should have always been like that.
And it should have been, right? Like,
Janessa's there should just, be. Jessa just named all of our methods.
I know.
And she's like, what's your favorite? She just named all of them.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
Well, it's proof right here that they all go hand in
they
hand.
Do. They
do. Because one creates a problem for another that method has to solve. And then they just keep going. So it's like.
It's so true. It's like, I think I said it in a call one day. I was like, there's really only one method, and it's consciousness.
Yeah.
It's like there really is only. It's like,
and
just be aware. Like,
just...
Yeah. And when you start to step into your own role as an ownership, and I think a lot of stylists, when we open up salons, it's because we just don't want to work where we were working.
Right.
And so, like, here we are. And then you're just like handed this salon that you think you're just going to work at. But you actually have to make all the choices. You have to make all the decisions, and it does fall on you. And there's so much more potential for growth and like all of the great things that can happen, and a whole other life, like a whole other life opens up.
What was the hardest part of coaching? Was it a method? Was it a lesson? What was the hardest part?
For me, the hardest part of coaching, and I think I still, to be honest, struggle with it, like as a student forever, is the idea that I can just learn a lesson and then I didn't make a mistake that's going to destroy everything. It's like removing the shame from...
Like, if you didn't have that mistake, you wouldn't have the solution.
It wouldn't be an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like...
Can I tell the listeners one of your biggest fears?
What is my biggest fear?
Your biggest irrational fear?
Oh, he knows all my darkest secrets. I don't know.
Is that...
I don't know this. What is it? Wait.
Her biggest, darkest fear... Do you want to guess?
I could name a million of them.
Is that she has a fear that she might kill someone and forget she killed them.
I do have that fear. It's so true. I was like, just in casual conversation, I'm like, do you ever have that moment where you like wake up and you're like, oh my God.
Did I kill someone?
Like,
what is that?
Like, am I secretly Dexter? And like,
it's the anxiety of,
don't be afraid to work with me. I swear to God, I'm not. But
I think it's the fear of, like, did I forget something, or is something going to come up that I wasn't paying attention to, or I forgot I said that.
And it resulted in something so traumatic. Like,
right.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like this, I don't know, raised Catholic, and so I'm always just like, how many Hail Marys do I have to say?
Yes.
But I think, you know, the reason I brought that up is because it leads me to you saying you wanted to do the lesson and, like, check it off.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been working, we had gone through all the methods and done all the things. And
I was going to say, she became future-proof so fast.
Yeah, the salon was doing really well and growing really fast. But Janessa was still the same.
Yeah.
And that was kind of alarming, because it was like, you have to also change, or this won't last.
You have to have the capacity to take on all this change. Yeah.
And you had a moment of, there was a spiral moment.
There was so many spirals.
There was a lot of spirals. But there was one where you were like, I don't know what the day... I remember the conversation, but I can't remember what it was that, like, really clicked for you. Do you remember what that was?
Where you were like, what was the spiral? There's been so many of
them. Not the spiral, but the click of, like, oh, I've been racing through this, and I've been just checking these things off. Like, okay,
she
done.
To change her, not realizing that she had to change herself.
That's what it was. You know, what happened, actually, and now I remember that now. I was going through a spiral, and you kind of snapped me out of it. You were like, you're shrinking right now. Mm-hmm. You need to leave your business. You need to get out of there.
Oh, that's, yes, now I remember.
And so,
is that when you took a vacation?
I did. Well, I think, but even my vacations were reactive. I like booked an Airbnb. I went on away on my own. I was like, okay, I'm doing the thing. I'm taking a break. Like, I kept just doing it, right? But like, yeah, I think I finally just had this like, yeah, it was that moment. Like, I am the problem.
Right.
Yeah. I am the tornado in the business, right? Like, everything else, like, even my stylist would be like, what are you doing here? We're
Get
okay.
Out.
Yeah, we're okay. We're good. You know what I mean? And so I was just sort of causing chaos. And January is always the month that I do that, because I always just want to know how the end of the year is going to be. And so January, I know now, I just like relax and take a break. But I'm always just trying to fix something because I think I've broken it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you don't want to, or you forgot you broke it,
or I forgot.
And
I
you don't want to.
Did I break something? Is everybody I know alive? I have blood on my hands, like Lady Macbeth. I'm like,
she's the last one. It's just,
it was such a funny, when you shared that fear with me, I was like,
I've never heard that
it
before.
It took me, and I was like, I totally get it. I kind of get it.
Like, I've never heard it
described that way.
Yep.
What, for people that do the methods and they get to this place where the salon runs itself, the growth is sustainable, you're making money, you've profitability for you has.
I mean, our gross profit margin was like 86%. Yeah. Like, it's insane.
When that's the insane. Average is
7.
Yeah.
But you had a lot of growth because when we met, it was 7 stylists. Now there's 20 something.
Yeah.
How do you, like, I think one of the side effects of our program too is that people become successful and they don't know what to do with that. Or like there's good stuff that comes out of it.
Try to self-sabotage to go backwards.
What would you tell people who they want the success, they want the growth, they want that many stylists, they want all those things, they want the 86% profitability, all that kind of stuff. Like, what would you tell them to prepare for even on the other side of that type of success?
I would tell them to prepare for the quiet moments more than anything, because if you're already that person who wants more and wants more and wants more, like, you're going to get it at some point, but you're not going to get it if you don't appreciate the quiet moments. Like, you have to have a hobby.
Pause.
You have to pause. Like, I think that's the biggest one that's changed my life.
Yeah.
Is the pause. And not just pausing, but knowing when is the right time to unpause.
Because mm-hmm. you just pause forever.
Either pause forever, you pause too long, or you pause too short.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? And you're like unfrozen far too quick.
Right.
So pausing definitely is that. It's like just kind of like, sit back and enjoy. I think one of the best things that you ever told me, David, was to start a success journal and to like appreciate the moments. Because I think that when you're that person that's kind of like, well, at least for me, when I was always kind of moving forward, I was going forward, I forgot to stop and actually say like, oh.
There was no appreciation.
Mm-hmm. There was no moment of just sitting back and enjoying.
Yeah.
It was like my feet were always in the fire. And when
you
I started
walking
to
learn, on Legos every single day.
Oh, that's
I do actually walk on Legos.
It feels like
almost every day. My 13-year-old son.
And now a word from our sponsors.
What if you could still give your clients great hair with less products? What if that product line made you money with less inventory on the shelves? What if that product line was also made with gentle ingredients, is biodegradable, and the packaging is refillable? All this may seem impossible, but with Hairstory, it is possible. Hairstory is a brand that is equal parts mindful as it is great hair. Give your clients amazing products while filling your bank account with extra cash. Ready to try New Wash for free? Visit hairstory.com/DTH to get pro access today.
What's it been like for your son and your husband, like watching you go through coaching and all that?
You bring your son in your TikToks all the time.
I know. Mm-hmm. You know what? Lawrence is.
Your son and Kristen's son remind me of, I get them confused in my head.
Lawrence is just like the sweetest soul that has ever existed in the world ever. He is just like this wholesome little thing that is amazing. When he comes into the salon, he'll like walk up to clients and be like, hello, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you for coming today. Like, it's so
cute. Tired.
It's like my favorite. He's totally, it's the best. He's like the best greeter in the entire world. But he's really excited, you know? Like, he said to me one day, he's like, I think I really want to learn how to take over the family business.
Oh.
And I just about died.
Oh, like,
it was the happiest moment of my entire life. Like, I was just like, the best thing in the entire world. I don't want to force him to do it, but I'm also going to kind of force him to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to... No, yeah. I mean, it's been...
Keeps streamlining, he could just,
like, you'll just make the
pay
money.
Pay the bills.
Yeah. Be like, well, you get it anyways, itself. Bud, so you can just enjoy your life.
Yeah.
And you just, There's sit no back managing. And enjoy it. I mean, that's the whole point. But no, I mean, I can't... I don't really know... I can't really say from them what it's like to watch me, but I can tell you what it's like for me to watch them.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I am lucky enough to have, like, the most supportive husband. Like, Jeremy is just absolutely on board with everything. He's, like, he will, like...
Did coaching ever make him nervous?
Everything makes him nervous.
Okay.
Now he doesn't. Now he's not.
Now he's
you
not.
You know, in the beginning, it was kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a lot of change real quick.
He's very logical. He's very, you know, that way. We both have ADHD. Mm-hmm. That's a fun household. And so, you know, he's very logical. He really wants to make sure that we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was that. And then at one point, he actually kind of looked at me and he was like, all right, babe, like, yeah, whatever you, I, I'm here, whatever you want to do. Because I'm like, let's open up this salon. Let's do this one. Let's do that one now.
When he saw like, the profits, he was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we got it. But also for me to see like his growth, like, you know, we've been growing together, which is also really cool. And so that's the best thing ever. And then even Lawrence, like at his age, to be so emotionally intelligent and to really be able
to
kind
of... Isn't that so cool? Like, I'm just so excited for everyone that, like, learns emotional intelligence through our program and, like, then goes shares that with the younger generation or their stylists that are younger or, like, their kids and, like, maybe we can change the world.
I had a student tell me one time, a long time ago, that the way that she would remember what she learned in our sessions was that she would teach them to her kids. She would reteach the session, not, like, in a...
Yeah.
But like in conversation, like, I want to teach you about reactivity. Like, but that's how she wanted her kids to have, but it's also how she was digesting the material. And it was really sweet to hear. Like,
I love
as a coach, it's so nice to know that, like, you're helping someone change the way they speak.
It's beyond the salon.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of inevitable, right? Like, you can't have it in one area and not have it in other areas. Like, it's kind of like once the light's been turned on, it doesn't go dark again. And so it would be a great little vacation sometimes to live in that brain. But it's just once it's there, it's there. And you kind of just apply it to everything else. Like once you step into owning your own everything, right? Like, and that's really what personal responsibility is. Like I think a lot of times when people hear personal responsibility, it's like, okay, I'm sorry. It's like a mea culpa.
Yeah.
But that's not what
but
it
they're
is.
Not it's feeling like not, the pain of the apology and understanding.
No, it's like shame.
Because it's also reactive to just say sorry.
Exactly.
And not, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like personal responsibility isn't, it's not taking accountability in the way that you have to ask for forgiveness or like, you know, it's finding where the lesson is.
Or say, or not apologizing.
Yeah.
Because you're not sorry.
Or not. Or
You know, like, I think that's a big one too. Like, sometimes it's just too polite. It doesn't actually mean anything. Mm-hmm. So you've become a coach.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most excited about when it comes to going from student to coach?
I am most excited about, I'm most excited about meeting so many more salon owners, hopefully in Canada. Like I'm so excited about that and being able to connect with people and, just kind of ease.
Yeah.
Like help people find the ease, you know? That's what I think I'm going to love the most. Like it's like if you're feeling like you're just a mouse on the wheel, like if you just show up and do your day, I want to help you see that there's so much more than that.
Yeah.
It's like really seeing the entire holistic approach, like everything about it and live in your pride and be happy and own it, you know? Like don't, it's so easy for us to deflect our own success. It's too easy for us to deflect our own success. You know what I mean? And so it's okay for you to have like, I tell people like ego isn't always just that thing that, you know, the movie makes it out to be where it's like egotistical doesn't mean arrogant.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's okay to have some of that. Like it's not healthy when it's out of balance. Like you have to own it and be proud of yourself. Like that's, I think,
it's really
what
hard
I'm the most
for a
excited
lot of hairdressers and salon owners is to be proud of themselves. I mean,
because we don't think we did it. We think somebody else did it for us, right? Like the product companies did it
or
for
we,
us.
Or I think we don't think we know what we're doing the whole time.
Yeah.
And like it was luck.
Yeah. We're just doing it because
I got lucky.
It gets done that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've been getting a lot of questions and feedback from people in Canada that kind of come to you because they see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even companies have contacted you like, how are you doing what you're doing? What's that been like to disrupt
by
your area, kind of by yourself? Yeah.
Hi. Well, what's really
Genesis
cool is that
takes
I'm not,
on the country.
I'm not by myself anymore, which is really cool, which is so cool because I have been connecting with them. I had an Instagram DM. I had a salon owner the other day message me and she was like, I'm telling my team that we're getting rid of retail. And I'm kind of a little scared. I was like, don't be scared. They're going to love it. They're going to love everything about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so then the next day she was doing it. So I sent her a little message and I was like, have a great day. Good luck. And she was like, it went so much better than I thought it was going to go. So like, I'm not alone.
This.
Yeah, I know, right? Like I'm not alone anymore. And that's what's really cool is like these things like having affiliate links are actually so much more. They weren't
and it's
as
been
widely
so
available, but they are
for
now.
Salon owners to connect like that. And like, we're trying to be like, why? Like, the fact that you like just made this connection and supported each other in something really hard was great.
That's
big work.
What I hope the biggest change that comes out of everything that we do is that, mm-hmm. is that we can all really fully embrace Open Door, mm-hmm. and celebrating and really connecting with each other. I mean, that's, I mean, community and connection are kind of my two favorite words, yeah. in the entire world, because that's what I think we miss and we're lacking so much. I mean, I think
it's funny because we say, we talk community.
Right.
But it's not big talk and not really
happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly. And I think there's a lot of times like stylists should be able to move freely through this industry, mm-hmm. without retaliation.
Yeah.
And it happens, mm-hmm. and it's aggressive and it's mean and it's just not fair and it's unnecessary.
Absolutely. Right.
It's absolutely unnecessary. And so it's just like,
why would you want to keep someone that doesn't want to work for you and then try to ruin their life because they don't want to work for you?
Right. Like, what is that doing?
Why would you just want to ruin someone's life?
I know.
And then they in post general. Like a Women's Day. Like happy Women's, happy International Women's Day. You're like, seriously?
Yeah.
You just destroyed her entire life. I'm like, high five, happy yeah. day.
For no reason.
So stupid. But like, it's unnecessary. Like, when we really can just come together and learn from each other and connect and be stronger together. You know, when things like the affiliate links, that's where you see it the most, right? Because when we ask for them,
right.
and we start using them,
companies
the industry
start
has
them.
To change. Mm-hmm. And recruiting to me is the exact same way. Is like, if we remove the fear and remove the reactivity when it comes to recruiting, stylists actually have the ability to change this industry faster than anybody else. Because mm-hmm. if they were just constant, imagine a world where a stylist just walked into a salon and was like, listen, this is my name and this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So what do you got? And just they Done. Looked to be recruited.
Right.
Salons would have to change.
But they can't because of how we run owned. Things.
And they're always so scared. Owned. My salon owner doesn't know I'm here. I don't know.
My salon owner.
Yeah.
That's a term I hate.
Yeah. I know. And they're just like,
well, no, they don't own you.
Yeah. If I leave, they're going to send all my clients a 50% off coupon. And they're going to, you know what I mean? Or they're gonna lie and tell them that
or
I don't do hair anymore.
Information.
Which is going on with one of my stylists currently right now. And like, that's it. Don't give them the information. Don't like Instagram doesn't exist. Like it's yeah. the most ridiculous thing. It's pain for no reason. You know what I mean? It's yeah. it's inflicting
and
pain on somebody else.
It's funny too because I know
no
that,
one questions.
And I know that that hair that
no,
salon
no one even
owner
talks about it.
That salon owner does that. Open their salon saying I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, because it was probably done to them.
Exactly. And then 20 years later, they're doing it.
Yep.
And it's, yeah. And that person who got fired is like, I'm going to open my own salon. I'm never going to do that. And then what do? They do that.
They do it.
And it just
you
know? Keeps
you always
perpetuating.
Become your parents.
It is. It's
you
like this unspoken thing in our industry that happens. That's so
absolutely.
It's a lot of work to undo it because I got to be honest. Like there, even though we talk about removing those things, the reactive part of me is like, I want to take them down. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not like that.
Oh,
it's not like that goes
you can't
away.
Make
the reactivity
go away. Drive
my car from the salon a couple of times.
Right?
You
but, you're, but you know, not you're like I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
hurts me. I want to. I'm angry. But like I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And it that's really
losing
sense hard
work. Is always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be painful.
It doesn't have to be
yeah.
in any way. I know every one of my stylists that has left the salon
like,
absolutely knows
yeah.
that they can call me, text mm-hmm. me, reach out. One of my old stylists, Jessie, who moved on, she was she messaged me and she's like, I have a highlight tomorrow and I don't know. I don't have the product stores are done. What are they called? I don't know. Supply stores are
yeah.
closed. Oh my God. And so she's like, but I need a can of bleach. And I was like, no problem, buddy. You know the door code. And she just yeah. sent me an e-transfer and went out and got it. Like,
I love that.
That is who we are. It's what yeah. I embody 100%. It's what I believe. Like, open door policy means that
yeah.
in my world because once you're in and that's the what we need to do.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason why I need to be destructive to somebody.
And burn bridges.
Right? Because they're not in control of my revenue.
Yeah.
They right. don't do it, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I help them, right, reach like their own idea of what fulfillment is and help them grow as their own people.
They're going to send people to you. They're going to maybe want to come back.
Yeah.
Well, the door's
Everyone's going to feel good about
the
it.
The door's always open. Like they can come and go. Every one of them knows that. Like there's not a world where my door gets closed forever.
I saw a dentist on TikTok and the staff was asking him questions and the staff was like, because the staff was trying to show everyone on TikTok like how great of a boss he is. And she's like, what would you do if we were recruited from, you know, to another office? And he's like, aw, I'd be sad, but if it was a better offer. And it's just like, our industry doesn't think like that, but every other industry thinks like that.
Yeah, because why would you keep, I don't know.
Like, he's like, I'd be sad, but I get it. Like, that was his response.
Is this the same dentist that gives people who work for him for certain, every year they get $1,000?
Yes.
And he gave that one woman $20,000 she's worth it for 20 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Can I?
I mean, if you got the
like
cash
flow. I would like to work for him.
Yeah.
if you got the...
But,
the
like, yeah, it's good to show those kind of things. It's good to for business owners to see that kind of behavior. Yeah. And I think when we say open door policy and we say, you know, it's not utopian because bad things do happen. People do stupid shit to your business.
Yeah.
But some people need to be removed.
It's also happening normally.
But it's already happening.
Yeah.
How can you be part of the process in a proactive way?
Yeah.
Is really it.
Yeah.
So what kind of student do you enjoy working with? Who do you want to work with?
I want to work with Mona. It's the mouse on the wheel. It's like every day seems like the same. It's like I'm waking up in Groundhog Day. It's you know, living in monochromatic gray land. Like, I want to help you find joy again, you know, and like actually sit back and really appreciate what you've created and get excited again. Yeah. Like, that is possible. You know, I'm excited to work with the ones who are always wanting to innovate, always wanting to do something different, always wanting to grow and just kind of feel like they're, you know, a circle peg in a square hole. Like, mm-hmm. this doesn't make any sense to me. And I feel like this doesn't feel like me.
Yeah. Right.
And I think there's way more of us out there than there.
Yep.
Than we think there are, you know?
This is their call.
This sounds like you. Call Janessa.
So if you had to tell someone who was listening that was on the fence about coaching, what would you tell them?
It's not in any way what you think it is. Because whatever picture in your brain you have of it, it's not. Like,
it's
just not.
It's like
so
a
much
color
better.
You don't know exists.
That's it. How do you explain a color? You can't really do that. It's different, and it's a different journey for everybody because your responsibility is different and who you are and what you want is different. Like, yes, there are methods, but how you do them are different. And so... It's a different experience for everybody, but it's so freeing and peaceful, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to learn more about Janessa and you want to work with Janessa, you can go to destroythehairdresser.com/Janessa. Do you want to spell your name for them? Because I always will butcher it.
Everybody does, but that's okay. They just call me Ness, but it's J-E-N-N-E-S-S-A.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And
extra N.
Yeah, there's an extra N, and it's E, not A. J E N N E S S A. I think I got it.
You did get it.
Yeah. I've spelled it enough, I think, at this point.
I hope so.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, and we can't wait to see what you do here at Destroy the Hairdresser.
I'm so happy to be here.
Next time on Destroy the Hairdresser, the podcast.
Rather than working till you die, let's work and build businesses and have investments that can fund us beyond